नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam,
Canto 11, Chapter 5, Verse 46. This is a very special chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. I believe in this chapter we have the 32 is the famous verse, Krishna Varnam Tusara Krishna, is it? This chapter, all right, that's what I thought. So today we're on 46. Yuvayo Kalu Dampatyor Vashasa Puritam Jagat Putratam Agamad Yad Vang Bhagavan Ishvaro Hari. Yuvayo kalo dampatyor Yashasa puritam jagat Putratam agamad yadbang Bhagavan Ishvaro Hari. Yuvayo kalo dampatyor Yashasa puritam jagat Putratam agamad yadbam Bhagavan Ishvaro Hari. Yuvayo kalu dampatyo Yashasa puritam jagat Putratam agamad yadbam Bhagavan Ishvaro Hari. Ladies? No Vaishnavis want to chant? Okay. Yuvayo, of the two of you, Kalu, indeed, Dampatya, of the husband and wife, Yashasha, by the glories, Puritam has become full. Jagat, the earth. Putratam, the state of becoming the sun. Agamat asum yet because Ma'am your Bhagavan the personality of Godhead Ishvaraha the Supreme Lord Hari Hari. Translation: indeed, the whole world has become filled with the glories of you and your good wife because the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Hari, has taken the position of your son. Translation, please repeat. Indeed, the whole world has become filled with the glories of you and your good wife because the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Hari, has taken the position of your son. Purport: in this verse, Narad Muni hints at the glories of Vasudev and Devaki, the parents of Krishna Balaram, by the words, Yashasa Puritam Jagat. The whole world is now filled with their glories. In other words, although Vasudeva inquired from Narada about spiritual advancement, Narada here states, you are already completely glorious due to your extraordinary devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yuvayo kalu dampatyor yashasha puritam jagat putratam agamadyadvang bhagavan ishvaro hari. Indeed, the whole world has become filled with the glories of you and your good wife because the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Hari, has taken possession of your son. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manubhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Ganamayam Dadati Svapadandigam Adadana Srinandantai Vridam Yache Puna Puna Srimad Rupa Padam Bujo Dulisyam Janma Janmani Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Panchakalpatrubhyascha kripa sindhubhyeva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. So here in this chapter, Narad Muni has been explaining the glories of and secrets of devotional service to Vasudeva and Devaki. And here he finally says that he's just, in English we say, preaching to the choir. Yeah? Generally, we want to preach to persons who don't know anything about spiritual life. But those who are in the choir, you know, choir, in the Christian churches, they have a group of people who sing all the hymns and everything. So it's already assumed they know everything. So that's called preaching to the choir, to the people who already know everything. So he says, no need for me to give you any instruction. He says, what is it? Yashasha. Yash means fame. Just like Krishna's mother's name is Yashoda, who gives fame. And Vrishabhanu's mother's name is Sukada. Who gives happiness. And Yashoda, Sukada, who else is there? Oh, and Radharani's mother's name is Kirtida, who gives glories. So we see the names of the original Vrishvasis all very nice. They're all givers. Abhya Sabdeniwal and Chalagai, Abhya Kabal Leniwal and Rigai. All the givers have gone away, only takers are left. So Yashasa, your fame is already there because you're the Supreme Personality of God that agreed to become your son. So what is the use of preaching to you about all the secrets of devotional service? In other words, how Krishna doesn't become the son of any ordinary person. In fact, it is totally amazing that that person who's unborn, he takes birth. This is a totally amazing thing. But you were that couple, Dampatyo, you were that couple who Krishna chose, Lord chose to take birth from your, in your family. So therefore you must be very advanced in devotional service, because Lord, he's unborn, but he only, he agrees to take birth. Of course his birth was not ordinary. Didn't come by the ordinary process, but Vasudeva and Devaki were sitting in the jail cell of Kans. And suddenly Lord appeared with four arms, fully dressed, beautiful pitambar dhoti, and fully ornamented golden ornaments, encrusted with jewels, huge golden crown, beautiful silken chadar. Ordinary children don't appear like that. So even his birth, although he took birth, his birth was extraordinary. Just like in Bhagavad Gita. Now we're in the Bhagavad Gita marathon. And one time Prabhupada asked, what is the most important verse in Bhagavad Gita? So everybody gave different answer that Sarvadharmam Parityajamam. No, no, no. Manmana Bhavan Madbhakto Madhyajama. No, no, no. Everyone gave some Tadvidi Pranipatena Parivata. No, no, no. After everybody had given their opinion what was the most important verse in Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada told, Janma karma chame divyam evam yoviti tatvara taktva janma naiti mameti sorjuna. The janma karma chame divyam, just like we have in English, divine. Janma karma chame divyam. My janma and karma are divine, transcendental. Krishna's birth is not ordinary birth, we just described. Divine. And his activity is also divine. Prabhupada says, Krishna has got rasa lila and you have got rascal lila. Janma karma chame divyam. My birth and activities are divine, transcendental. Evam yo veti tatrata. We know this word Veda comes from this word vit, which has become beti here. Evam yo veti tatrata. Anybody who knows this in truth, then tyaktva. We know the word tyag, that's the noun. When it becomes a verb, it becomes tyakt. Tyaktva. Having left, tyaktva deham. We know deha means this body. Tyaktva deham. After leaving this body, punarjanmana, he doesn't take another birth. Are? If I don't take another birth, what will happen to me? Now I've got this body, I'm enjoying so nicely. If I don't take another body, then what will happen? Krishna says, don't worry. Mameti, sorjuna, or Arjun, you will come to me. You will get transcendental body. Divya, divya deha, in order to enjoy wonderful pastimes with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Prabhupada said, this is the most important verse. You just understand this one point, that Krishna's birth and activities are not material. Then you don't take another birth in this material world. You go back to home, back to Godhead. So Prabhupada said, this is the most important verse. So Vasudeva and Devaki, they witnessed before their very eyes. Krishna appeared in a most extraordinary way. Of course, then they prayed that, please, you hide this form. Otherwise, Kamsa will know, because Kamsa was told that the a child of your sister will kill you. Voice appeared in the sky. Kans, you fool! You're driving the chariot of your sister, but you do not know the eighth child will kill you. Atawalal Tera Kav. So now this is the eighth child. He's already killed. all the other children, one child was understood to be miscarriage. Balaram, he was transferred to the womb of Rohini in Gokul. So now this is the eighth one. They said, hide this, for if he sees, he's singing Supreme Lord, because Narad Muni took Kamsa aside, because originally, when Vasudev Prada is first born, Kamsa said, I have no fear from this one. The oracle said, it is eighth child. You please take this one home. So Vasudev, he had doubt going home, because those who have uncontrolled senses, they can never be trusted. Kamsa said, let Vasudev go, because Vasudev had promised that he would bring every child to him. And everybody knows Kamsa's word is as good as gold. Vasudev's word is as good as gold, but Kamsa's word we cannot trust. So Narad Muni was a little worried that if its pastimes go on like this, it will take a long time for the Lord to appear. I want the Lord to appear hurriedly, get rid of this Kamsa and all these demons that are burdening the earth. So he took Kamsa aside, because Narad Muni is a very clever fellow. So he told Kans in a secluded place that, have you heard? It's all over the internet. We saw it on the Sampradaya Sun. All the demigods are taking birth in the Yadu, Vrishni, and Bhoja dynasties. Did you hear it? It's all over. Everybody knows. Did you know that? And these demigods are very tricky fellows. We can't trust them. The oracle said, the eighth child. But we don't know how these demigods count. We count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. But who knows? Maybe they count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Depending on where they start, anyone could be the eighth child. These demigods are very tricky fellows. You can't trust them. So in this way, Kans immediately, he's consulted with his ministers. See, by association of Vasudevi, became a little pious. When he saw Vasudeva was keeping his word, he decided to spare the child. But as soon as he associated with his ministers, he said, no, we better kill them all then. They killed them all. So Vasudeva and Devaki told that, you please hide this form, otherwise Kans will know for sure that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has come. Because he was warned that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who killed all of your so many demons before, he's going to kill you. And then he told Vasudev and Devaki that, you please take me across the river and exchange me with the girl child of Yasoda and Nanda Maharaj. So, in English we say that Vasudev carried Krishna in a basket, because we don't have any words in English. Actually, he was carried in a sarpi. Sarpi is a very, very simple implement that we keep around the farmhouse. For we throw the rice like this, and the wheat and all the rest of the stuff blows away. It's a very simple thing. We just throw it in the corner of the house and use it every once in a while like that. This is Supreme Personality of Godhead. He should have been carried in a golden basket. But he came in a sarpi. Like that. Vasudev was carrying him. It was raining, so Anantashesh came and sheltered him from the rain. Then, just across a little ways, kitty corner from Gokul, there's a god. That god is known as Koilagat. Because Vasudev entered the water of the Jumuni. This is rainy season, so the water current was very heavy, and the water was very deep. And he kept going deeper and deeper. He kept holding that sarpi higher and higher and higher and higher and higher and higher. Finally, he was holding way over his head. The water was coming up to his nose. And he was crying, koi lo, koi lo, koi mida lala le lo, koi lo, koi lo, koi lo, koi mida lala le lo, koi mida lala le lo. So that ghat became known as Koilagat. And now Braj Foundation has fixed it. It was completely useless condition, but Braj Foundation fixed up that ghat very beautifully. So then Krishna took his foot and he put it outside the sarpi and touched the Jamuna. She wasn't rising from the rainfall. She was rising with desire to touch the lotus feet of Krishna. We should also rise up with a desire to touch the lotus feet. We can't become desireless. The Mayavadis. They all say we should become desireless. And Prabhupada said desireless means to become like a dead stone. Huh? And so Prabhupada said, if to find out God, I have to become like a dead stone, I do not care to know what is God. Not that we become desireless, we become filled with desire for Krishna's service. Jamuna was full of the desire to touch the lotus feet of Lord. Lord touched her touched his lotus feet to her waters. Immediately she came ankle deep and Vasudev easily crossed the river and brought back the girl child of Yasoda and Nanda Maharaj. So, and later when we get to Dwarka Lila, we learn one very interesting thing from the Vaishnav Toshini of Sanatana Goswami. Because it's described how Krishna, he went to Sandipani Muni's ashram in Avantipur, Ujjain, where Bhakti Charu Maharaj has built a huge white marble temple to Sri Madan Mohan. And as Dakshina, he brought back from the death the child of his teacher, Sandipani Muni. So when Vasudev and Devaki, they heard this thing, then Devaki said, for your guru, you brought back the child. What about my children? I had six, seven children that were killed. You bring them back. You're doing for your guru, not for your mother. The mothers are always very envious like that. You're doing So then Krishna, he called back the children of Devaki, and it's described that they appeared there, and even though they were full grown, they drank her milk, and Bhagavatam says that was the Mahaprasad of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How is it the Mahaprasad? And as Vaishnava Toshini Sanatana Goswami explains, that actually Devaki was thinking, the child has just been born, he's going on a long trip all the way to Gokul, at least he should get something. So she suckled the Lord. Therefore her milk became Mahaprasad. So all those, after taking the Mahaprasad of Devaki, all those sons went back to their original positions. This is a very interesting detail that we learned from Srila Sanatana Goswami's Vaishnava Tosani. So anyway, there's not much of a purport to speak anything. We spoke some Leela. But yesterday was the disappearance day of our great, great, great Paramaguru, His Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada. So with permission of the Vaishnavas, we'll speak something about Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And most of us have heard how he got the name Singha Guru. He was very ferocious against those. Api Siddhanta Dvanta Harine. Even in his Purvashram, he couldn't stand any cheating or falsity. Just like it's described, Bhakti Vikas Maharaj has done a wonderful service to the devotees. He's compiled such a huge ocean of pastimes of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It's just, I can't believe that how hard he must have worked. It's three volumes, Bhakti Siddhanta Vaibhav. Yeah, there's oceans of pastimes. So there describes how he actually opened his own school of astrology. And he, because he saw that they were influenced by the West, they were mixing Western astrology. And basically it was because the Surya Siddhanta, Siddhanta Shiromani, they have verses in them that say that after every once in a while, the calculations have to be corrected. The movements of the planets have to, because they don't move regularly. Just like we see, next year we're going to have extra month. Because we say that the month is 30 days, but it's not actually 30 days. It's, 28 and something. So everything goes off. So you have to make a correction every month. And even in the English calendar, we say the year is 365, but it's 365 and a quarter. So every 4 years they add an extra day. So everything like that, you have to make adjustments every once in a while. But for 8 centuries, nobody had adjusted everything. So Vedic astrology was becoming practically useless. So they were accepting the shelter of Western philosophy, Western astrology. So Bhaktisiddhanta, he translated Siddhanta Shiromani, he did the corrections, much because everybody was so entrenched in traditionalism, that how he can change things, how he can change. But right in the book itself, it says it has to change. Because the planets don't move exactly like we try to say, you know, that there's 365 days in a year, but we see that every once in a while it goes over, because they're not moving exactly like we think they move. And there was one fellow, Bhopadev, who was very famous at that time, and he was leaning more towards Western astrology. So he had one of his students debate with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And in that debate, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta defeated him so ferociously that Bhopadev was there in the audience. He passed stool and urine in his dhoti. He was so mortified by how he... So even in his purvashram, he couldn't accept falsity and charlatanism. So what to speak of when he was in spiritual life, whatever, so many apasarantas were there. He was so ferocious against this Radharaman Charandas Babaji, who invented some new mantra. Nitai Gaur Radisham Japo Hare Krishna Hare Ram. Padru Nitai Gaur Radisham. Actually, they were friends when Bhaktivinod, he purchased some property right across the street, kitty corner from Haridas Thakur, Namacharya Haridas Thakur's samadhi. By the grace of Krishna, ISKCON managed to take that property, and now we have our ISKCON temple right on that. That was called Bhakti Kutir. Although we're sad, they smashed the kutir just to make a restaurant. But anyway, at least we have the property. So Bhaktisiddhanta and Bhaktivinod used to discourse on Chaitanya Charitamrita. Many people, even this Radharam Charandas Babaji, used to come. And they prevailed upon him so many times, don't invent something new, don't change the philosophy, because this is completely apasiddhanta, this mantra. Even in Radhakund, these people came, they were ready to give 50 lakhs to the Mahant of Radhakund, that you give us one place in Radhakund where we can sit and chant. He said, even you give 50 crores, we don't want to hear this mantra. It's a completely useless mantra. So they tried to prevail upon him, but he refused to listen to their good advice. But he was very popular, because previously he was a very nice Babaji. He used to come and listen to Bhakti. They had very good friendship. So he was very popular amongst the people. So when Bhaktisiddhanta began preaching against him, the people got very angry. In fact, they finally threatened to kill Bhakti. Bhaktisiddhanta wasn't afraid. He was lion guru. He wasn't afraid. He preached against him. Finally, Bhaktivinoda said, you better go back to Mayapur, because it's getting hot here. So we've heard all of these pastimes, how he was, in fact, in his youth, he took tour of South India, collecting different books and hearing from the different sampradayas, Vaishnav sampradayas. Even he went to Sringari Math, one of the pits of Shankaracharya. But on the plea of that he was not born in a Brahmin family, they refused to talk to him. Most likely they were afraid that he was going to defeat them, but they made this plea, which is one of the things that Bhaktivinoda and Bhaktisiddhanta preached boldly against, this idea that one is Brahmin, only qualification to be Brahmin is birth. Just like I can remember in Los Angeles, we used to chant in front of a restaurant called Diamond Jim's. In this restaurant, in front of the Lord, we can't say what they're serving in this restaurant. All we can say is, Go Mata Ki Jai. And they're drinking so many horrible things. somehow they've got this idea that you take some grapes and you make them rotten and you distill out the essence, or you take some grains or some potatoes and you make them rotten and you distill out the essence of the rottenness, and they think it's very sophisticated to drink distilled essence of rottenness. So like that, this is what's going on in this restaurant. So we would be, because the sidewalk was very wide there, we used to chant there. Because then we didn't block traffic, and then the police were very happy with us. But Diamond Gems was very upset. But anyway, so one time, one Indian gentleman came out from that restaurant, and I immediately approached him with the Bhagavad Gita. And he gave the standard answer of, in fact, I think when they leave the country in those days, they used to give a slip in the immigration that when you meet the Hare Krishnas, this is what to say. So I'm from India. I know everything. I didn't meet a single person from India who didn't have this line when we tried to approach them on Sankirtan. I'm from India. I know everything. He said, see, I'm Brahmin. He reached for his brown. See, I'm Brahmin. We just described what he's eating and drinking in this place, and he's thinking he's Brahmin. Simply because he's born in Brahmin family. So Bhakti's... So anyway, Sringari Mat, they wouldn't let him... They refused to give him audience under that excuse. And we know, of course, the Smartas became in Bengal became very upset, so they held a great assembly and they wrote a whole book, dissertation, defeating the idea that someone who's not born a Brahmin can become a Brahmin. I can't remember the name. Something, Purva Paksha Vijay, something like that. Purva Paksha means the opposite party. So then, the Vaishnavas, their disciples were becoming upset because neither you can become Brahmin nor you can become Guru. So, Visvambara Ananda Dev from Shamananda, because Shamananda also was a Brahmin, but he became not only Brahmin but Guru. And whole Shamananda Sampradaya is there, one of the biggest branches of Gaudiya Sampradaya. So they organized a meeting to defeat this. So Srila Bhakti Sananta wrote Brahmano Vaishnava. And he came to the meeting, and although the Samarthas weren't invited, they showed up. And suspecting trouble, the police also came. So Visvambaranandev was the chairman of the assembly, but everybody knew that Bhakti Sananta was the first person to speak. And he spoke, first of all, he began to pull out so many verses even the Smartas didn't know, glorifying the Brahmins. And all the Smartas became very happy. Then he began to pull out verses flowing like the Ganga. He was pulling out verses how the Vaishnava is superior even to a Brahmin, that actually one cannot become a Brahmin without being a Vaishnava. And it's not a question of birth, it's a question of guna and karma, question of quality. Then they became furious. They began to shout and scream, but somehow Visvambaranandev made them quiet. And finally, Bhaktisiddhanta finished with such heavy preaching, they all slipped out of the assembly. And everybody rushed forward to touch Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's feet. He never let anybody touch his feet. The police were upset. They didn't know what to do. The huge crowd was pressing in and pressing in. So against his will, they grabbed Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, took him outside somewhere. They dumped his feet in a bucket of water. They poured it into a big container and poured more water in it. Then they sprinkled it over the crowd to calm down the crowd. So we know all these stories about him as Singha Guru. But Bhaktivikas Maharaj has researched so many stories that actually in the night he would come around to the brahmacharis and make sure their mosquito nets were tied. He had such a sweet, soft heart. Because if they become sick, then the preaching will be an obstacle to the preaching. So he would actually come and fix the mosquito nets and in so many ways, he gives so many stories how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's heart was very soft. Against those who were opposition, he was like a lion. But in the house, he was like a lamb. And he treated the devotees with great affection. Even as householders after their welfare and the welfare of their children, he was very, very... So many, I can't, just now I can't remember some of those pastimes, but he was also very, very soft-hearted. We don't hear those stories so much, but Bhakti Vikas has collected all these wonderful stories. And his initiation was also very interesting, because he was being very, of course, very learned. Actually, because of his progress in Jyotish, he was the greatest astrologers of Calcutta gave him the title Siddhanta Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. Later he became Bhakti Siddhanta, because real Siddhanta is Bhakti. But they gave him the title Siddhanta Saraswati from that time. After that he said, I have better things to do. They wanted him to continue in his astrology. I have better things to do. It's more important, Hari Bhajan. Without Hari Bhajan, life is useless. So even at the age of 7, his father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, had initiated him into the Harinam. And also later, he gave him one Nisringa mantra. Nobody knows for sure, but everybody thinks it's that mantra, Ugram Biram Mahavishnum Jvalantam Sarvato Mukham Nisringam Bishanam Badram Mrityum Mrityum Namamyam. And even as shortly after that, he showed great interest in worshipping Shalagram. Even though he was a child and not born in a Brahmin family, he got a Kurma Shalagram, and Bhaktivinoda gave him the mantras for worshipping that. But later, Bhaktivinoda prevailed upon him that you must take diksha. I'm your father, I can't really give you diksha. I've given you Harinam, but I can't give you diksha. And the best person to take diksha from is this Gorkhasura Das Babaji Maharaj. He'd been in Vrindavan for many, many decades. Then he came back to Bengal. He especially wanted to see the Yogapit temple. That he was very happy that Bhaktivinoda had discovered the actual birthplace, because he also didn't believe the smartas in Navadvip. So from the very moment that Bhaktisiddhanta laid eyes on, he said, I never saw such a being who had descended to this plane like my Guru Maharaj. But he was quite simple. He couldn't even write his own name. And there was many people after. Every guru wanted to get Bhaktisiddhanta as a disciple, because everybody would be very happy to have such an intelligent disciple as their own. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta knew they were all bogus. So he was avoiding them all. And when his father suggested Gorkhasura, he was a little surprised at first. He knew that there's no being like this on this plane of existence. But he was a little surprised. This fellow is very simple. He can't even write his name. He sometimes beats people with a stick. He's very crude. And Bhaktisiddhanta was very refined and very learned and very well-lettered. So anyway, he approached Srila Gorkhasura Das Babaji Maharaj and begged for him to give him initiation. And Srila Gorkhasura, I detected one disciple one time, he cheated me. So I decided I'm not going to accept any other disciples. In fact, to describe anybody who came for him for initiation, he would take his umbrella and beat them. But Bhaktisiddhanta insisted. He said, all right, I will ask Mahaprabhu. If he gives the order, then I'll initiate you. So again, he asked him, he said, did you ask Mahaprabhu? Oh, I forgot. Then third time he asked him, he said, I asked Mahaprabhu, but I did not get the answer. Then Bhaktisiddhanta said, he quoted that one wonderful bhajan, Karuna na hoile, kandiya kandiya, prana na rakibo ara. If you do not show your mercy to me, then crying and crying, I will give up my life. Then Gorkhasura was turned. He said, all right, you go to the Jalangi, take your bath and come. And he gave him initiation. In fact, sometimes the Radhakund Babaji's, they dispute this. But I met one Babaji who was living in Gopinath Bazar many, many years ago. He is no more. But he told me his Guru Maharaj was present there when Bhaktisiddhanta got, he saw the initiation of Bhaktisiddhanta from Gorkhasura Das Babaji. And he gave him his, he had this tiger skin cap and he had these little knots, knotted threads for his japamala. He gave those to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. Very simple things, but Bhaktisiddhanta, receiving them from the hands of a Paramahamsa, he received them as valuable, great valuable treasure. Later on, Gorkhasura, he never let anybody touch his feet. He would beat them with a stick or his umbrella. But one time he called Bhaktisiddhanta and he placed his two lotus feet on his head. He called him and placed his two lotus feet on his head. And Bhaktisiddhanta writes that when I approached my spiritual master and he rejected me, it was a big jolt. Because I was thinking that I was very qualified and this and that. But I realized that this person, he's rejecting me. What treasure does he have that he's seeing that all my learning and education and everything is useless? He must have a greater treasure. I realized that I was totally useless. Everybody was praising me, but my Guru Maharaj gave me a jolt. He shocked me. So then I realized that all my learning without Hari Bhajan, without devotion to the Lord, all these things are completely, totally useless things. I realize that I'm a completely useless soul. So this was this pastime of initiation. That was in January of 1900. So almost exactly 117 years from now, from here. And of course we know he is... biggest desire was to have a printing press at that time, because the agitation for independence was there. To get a printing press was a very difficult thing. You had to get police permission, you had to get this permission, that permission. Just like our Yadavar was telling me about this Hare Krishna film, you know. First of all, it has to go to the censor board. They have to review it. It had a picture of animal in it. It had to go to Chennai. To the animal board has to prove it, that there's no cruelty to animals. Just one after another, one thing. Oh, Prabhupada mentioned cigarettes, so they had to put a... there's, you'll see when you see the film, when it's... what day? The 15th, I think. That in the beginning of the film, it gives an ad against some Bollywood stars talking against smoking, because Prabhupada mentioned... he said, no cigarettes. He just, because the word cigarette is there. He has to have... So much. So like that, it was big hassle to... especially in those times, big bureaucracy to get a printing press. But somehow Bhaktisiddhanta persevered and many people came forward to help him. And he got his first printing press and he called it, this is the Brihat Mridanga. This little Mridanga that you can hear for a block or so. But this Brihat Mridanga will be heard throughout the world. And of course, the main thing that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur did was to convince our Srila Prabhupada to be about Vaishnavism, Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Because Prabhupada, he'd become fed up with all of these bogus sadhus and what was going on. The whole society was fed up. The word Vaishnava was looked down upon. Nobody liked to even speak about it. The practices that were going on under the name of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. So he wasn't at all interested when his friends told him there's a great sadhu on Ultadanga Road. And, no, I've seen all these bogus fellows. No, you have to come. So practically they dragged him there. And in the first meeting, he was just bowing down, no introduction, nothing. And Bhaktisiddhanta said, you're educated young man, you know English, you should preach the message of Mahaprabhu in English language. And Prabhupada was shocked. I haven't even met this guy, already he's telling me what to do. And to preach the message of Mahaprabhu in English. And he said, who will hear our message? Because we are ruled over people. How will people hear our message? And Bhaktisiddhanta explained the message of Mahaprabhu doesn't depend on any political situation, this one being ruling or that one being ruling. It is a completely transcendental message from the spiritual world, the most urgent, because everybody in this world is dying. And without hearing the message of Mahaprabhu, they will continue to suffer. It is the most urgent message, doesn't depend on anything. And although Prabhupada was never defeated by anyone, he was very happily defeated by Bhaktisiddhanta when they left the place. And his friends asked him, so what do you think of the sadhu? He said, the message of Mahaprabhu is in very good hands. And over, he again and again told Prabhupada to preach in the English language. And finally, Prabhupada wrote him a letter toward the end, the last instruction he received. He said, I'm a householder, all your others are doing so nice service, what can I do? He said, you preach the message of Mahaprabhu in English language, it'll do good to you, it'll do good to those who hear you. So we're forever grateful to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur for inspiring our Prabhupada to come. We wouldn't be sitting here in this beautiful, extraordinarily beautiful temple. This is only by the mercy of the inspiration of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who inspired our Prabhupada to, even without money, without anything, Prabhupada just taking the order. The only thing Prabhupada had was the order of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. In fact, Bhaktisiddhanta tells that although he got the printing press, shortly thereafter, Bhaktivinod, his father, left this world. Then shortly thereafter, Gorkhashwardas Babaji left this world. Then he began to lament and he went back to Mayapur where he'd done his 1 billion nam. And he sat there thinking, even if I print books, my two Prabhus are gone. Who will I show these books? Who will appreciate these books? And he began to lament and he began to again become reclusive. But within his heart, he was hearing the words of his father that don't become a recluse. Go out and preach the message. Then one night he got a dream that the Panchatattva came, the six Goswamis came, Bhaktivinoda, his father came, Gorkhashwardas Babaji, his guru came. They told him, just go and preach, because he was lamenting, whatever I do, I get so much opposition from these nasty people. Why should I take all this trouble? Now my two Prabhus are gone. He said, and I don't have any support, I don't have anything. He said, you just preach. They all told him, you just preach, we'll take care of everything. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was inspired by his Guru Maharaj, and our Prabhupada was inspired by his Guru Maharaj. In his last words, last darshan, Bhaktisiddhanta said, nothing can stop the Bhaktivinoda Dhara. The current, nothing can stop it. And Prabhupada has carried that current of Bhaktivinoda and spread it all over the world. And we're sitting here, only we're sitting here in this beautiful temple in the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath by the mercy of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur ki. So we'll put our voice to rest here. Maybe there's some question or comment. I put everybody to sleep.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu, for the wonderful class. Enjoyed it so much. If you could kindly narrate that episode where Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was challenged that he didn't have a bona fide sampradaya.
Yeah, that was the next thing these guys did. After he defeated them on the Brahmana Vaishnav platform, then they arranged they began preaching that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not avatar mentioned in the scriptures, and the mantras that we receive in Brahman Diksha are not eternal mantras like other mantras. They began a whole big agitation again. But Bhaktisiddhanta again presented so much evidence from the scriptures. It's like from Mahabharata, there's that one Chandanangari, that he's decorated with chandan, he's golden in complexion, always chanting. And this verse here, just 32 of this very chapter, Krishna Varanam Tasa Krishna, he's present in so many evidences from the scripture that they were defeated. I have to go, and I didn't read that one in Bhaktivikasa's book. I'm sure there's more details. But it's huge when you try to just study for a class. It's this huge ocean of knowledge about Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Where the tide really turned was Bhaktivinoda told him that you restart the Nabadeep Mandal Prikama, Gaur Mandal Prikama. So they went on Prikama. When they got to Nabadeep, they came to one certain place, I forgot the name, but some gundas, they were carrying the Lord on an elephant, and some gundas began to throw rocks and things at the elephant, and the devotees rushed forward to stop them, and they began beating the devotees, and eventually they began throwing rocks and stones and on the devotees, and they went away. Then the devotees very loudly tried to stop them, so they disappeared. Then they came back. They were keeping sticks in the nearby shops, and they came back with sticks and a whole bunch more gundas and began beating all the devotees. They had to charge back to the dharmshala where they were. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was convinced that without hearing the pastimes in that place, then what is the use of going on Prikama? So the next day, that time they attacked, you know, women and children, and everyone was there. The next day, mostly men went. The first time there was 800, this time there was about 300. And again they came with a bigger force and attacked, and the police had to come and intervene. And then, just like here in Juhu, when they smashed the temple, then Prabhupada was very happy. Now they have fallen into a trap. And immediately, because they smashed a Hindu temple, then immediately the whole public opinion became against Mr. Nair. The same way all the newspapers for days and days were condemning the Smarta Brahmanas for attacking innocent, unarmed men and women and children on the Prikama in a holy place. Completely, they lost all their prestige. They lost everything by that incident. And Bhaktisiddhanta, all the newspapers were praising Bhaktisiddhanta for his work and criticizing the Jata Gosais and everyone for their mean, lowly activities. So that's when the tide was turned. Okay, so we'll end here. If anybody wants, we have copies of Braj Leela Part 2. We're asking a small donation of 300 rupees, and we're here also to sign it if you want a copy. And it's not formal writing. This was classes that I gave in Mayapur, so it's transcription. So the way I talk, that's the way the book is. It's not formal writing. It's the way I talk like that. So it's 250 pages of Nectar. Part one is sold out. We're going to bring it out very soon as an ebook on Amazon. But this is part two is here with me. If anybody wants, they can come and I'll sign. Meanwhile, we can all fall down at the very soft and wonderful lotus feet of the great personality who's saved all of us, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.